Welcome to the Power of Synergy on BBS Radio. I'm your host, Gabrielle Cardona. What is synergy? It's what we create when we amplify each other. Okay, the definition, if you Google the definition, you'll see it's the interaction or cooperation of two or more organizations, substances, or agents. That's even people. Individuals to produce a combined effect greater than the sum of their separate effects. That means that when we come together, we make each other more powerful. Okay, that's fun. Power. Well, it's kind of scary too, because you know what? Power comes with responsibility, and responsibility demands accountability. Do you personally believe that? Do you believe that you are accountable for the decisions that you make that will affect other people? You know what? Two things that I always tell people, my clients, I've been doing this for 20 years. I tell my clients, there is no neutral energy. Your energy is either positive or it's negative. And there's no inertia. You can't be still. As humans, we are moving towards each other, together, or away from each other. We're moving forward or we're moving back. Do you think about where you're moving and how you're moving and how it affects other people? And do you believe that when you know something, you are accountable? You have power. Information gives us power. Well, you know what? I've been actually watching a lot of news lately because we've got a lot of stuff going on politically, socially. Yeah, I just need to know what's going on in people's lives because I want to know what's on their minds, what's important to them, what their priorities are. When I teach people, I want it to be things that they actually want to learn. Okay, well, I'll be honest with you. We've got this thing called ChatGPT and social media. ChatGPT is actually artificial intelligence where people create relationships with technology. We spend a lot of time on social media. We spend a lot of time communicating with each other through these electronic venues. That means we're not really together. Well, no big deal. I mean, we're still communicating, aren't we? No, not at all. Now, I know some people have opinions. I've been doing these surveys throughout the neighborhood in the Scottsdale and Tempe and Phoenix areas. If you have an opinion or a question, please don't hesitate to call. The number to the station is 888-627-6008. Okay, but what I'm talking about today, the survey question that I was asking was, we have a personality, we have an emotional constitution, we have a mental complex constitution. What about the things that we think? Well, what about the things we say and that we do and that we are? Man, you know what? Technology doesn't afford those factors and those variables to us. When we have questions about who we are, what about the people that we're talking to? Well, you know what? Now we have our dogs and our cats. We have our animals. We don't need people. Yes, we do. And we know we do. Well, you know what? We have our electronic devices. It's good enough, right? Because it's a relationship that we're having. No, because as humans, we have the human element of touch and smell and taste. Okay, even our vision. When we're looking at an electronic device, it's not the same thing as a real person. Do you know that when you are talking to something, it's not someone, it's not the same thing. When we have an emotional constitution and a psychological factor, we have to connect with people because our synergy gives us power. Well, when we don't have that, we don't have that humanity, we're missing out on something. Okay, so let's think about the variables. Today, I'm actually going to be talking about the personality variable of, you know what, we have great technology. Our technology is smart and responsive. Yes, as long as we say certain things, we have artificial intelligence that knows how to respond to certain words or certain implications. Well, to a degree, humans are predictable. Yeah, we know their predictability, but there's still that individual factor, that human factor that technology just can't account for. And that's why I explain to people, yes, your personality is a big part of who you are, but it's not everything. You have your personal life experiences that has sort of modified how you turn out. And you know what? We can learn how to do all kinds of things that are not our personality's preferences. We can get really good at things that, yeah, they're not really us. Did that mean we changed? No, not at all. Because what we do is not who we are. And this was another conversation I had on the rail, on the Phoenix Valley Metro rail with a gentleman. He was actually talking to one of the security guards about how to pay the new way, because now you can't use money. Now it's just about using your phone. Well, what about what you do, how you do it as a person? What about why you do it? Yeah, well, that's the human variable. Things now are going to be almost entirely electronic. That's going to take away the human factor. Is that a good thing? No, we all know that it's not a good thing. Again, the number is 888-627-6008. Now, how many people really want an animal to take the place of the human simply because the pain? Okay, now I'm going to tell my favorite joke again. I love to tell this joke. I try to get it in every show, but this show it actually works. The Spanish teacher was asking or explaining to the class that in Spanish, words are feminine or masculine. So when you use an article, instead of saying the, you have to say el or la. And one of the students, it was an adult class, said, is it el computador or la computadora? And she said, well, do you think it's more like a man or a woman? And he said, never mind. I withdraw the question. And she said, no, you know what? Let's talk about this. Let's make it a game. Men use it over here. Women use it over there and talk it out. Do you think that this machine is a guy or a gal? And the men got excited. They pulled out a pen and paper and they started whispering and laughing. And she said, what are you doing? This is just a game. What are you writing down? He said, man, this thing's so female, it practically has breasts. And she said, okay, read your list to me. And they said, we'll tell you why this thing is a gal. Number one, only their creator understands their logic. Number two, they speak a language only they interpret. Number three, they store every mistake you ever make in long-term memory for future retrieval. And most importantly, you spend half your paycheck on their accessories. And she said, oh my gosh, ladies, I'm drowning here. Those were all true and they were all great reasons. And they said, no. This thing's a guy. We'll tell you why. We got four reasons too. Number one, they don't do anything for you until they're turned on. Number two, you can give them information all day, every day. They're still not going to be able to think for themselves. Number three, they claim to be able to solve any problem you give them. But you know what? In real life, they're usually the problem. And most importantly, number four, you know, if you had just waited 6 months, you could have had a better one. All right. So yeah, the fact is, we don't like certain things about each other. We have a hard time relating to each other. We would rather have our technology, but that's not funny. It's not the same thing. We do need to get together, and we know that we have certain accountability to each other and for ourselves. When we come together, let's think about the individuality. Today, I'm going to be talking about not only personality, but also our thoughts and feelings, how they manage to, you know, affect us, but not necessarily determine what we're going to do. The number again to the station is 888-627-6008. Now, again, it's going to be the Myers-Briggs personality profile system. Now, thinking again about how the variables of what we do doesn't indicate who we are. The man that I was talking to was mentioning how personality, it's about the quality of your character. Okay, now biblically, yes, that would be a good personality, the Christian personality, as opposed to the bad personality. No, this Myers-Briggs type indicator is just about behavior patterns in the context of what you naturally do really well, good things, and what good things it takes a little bit more effort for you to do well. So when we come back again, 888-627-6008. This is The Power of Synergy on BBS Radio. I'm your host, Gabrielle Cardona. Welcome back to The Power of Synergy on BBS Radio. I'm Gabrielle Cardona. Now, the owner of Synergy Relationship Coaching, I've been teaching people as a life coach for 20 years how to be successful in life. But I knew, excuse me, I knew that most of the time when people would come to me for health questions or work goals or monetary sort of ambitions, everything in their life and the coaching that I gave them was about being with people. Now, managing their thoughts and their feelings and their time and their money and their health, people were either going to make them better and more successful and more confident and happy, or they were going to get in their way and undermine them. Because again, as I said before, there is no neutral energy and there is no inertia. We're either making things better or worse. We're coming together or we're pushing each other away. Okay, so since we're talking about the Myers-Briggs Type Indicator Personality Profile System, now this is a very widely utilized and highly respected profile system, but unfortunately, not everybody who administers the test knows what they're doing. They don't always necessarily know how to answer questions because it's not just about what we exclusively do. It's about what is naturally the easiest for us. What we do very, very well naturally. Yeah, okay. And what actually brings us pleasure naturally. So when I administer the test, most of the time people, I have to sometimes give it to them two or three times and say, okay, not based on what you currently do, but based on what's easiest for you, what brings you pleasure, and what you're good at. You know what? Sometimes people actually have to think because in their life, they were never really allowed to do the things that gave them pleasure. And they were never allowed to do the things that they were good at. It could be for cultural reasons. It could have been for financial reasons. Please, ladies and gentlemen, as you're thinking about these different dichotomies, what gives you pleasure and what are you naturally really good at? Yeah. And what's easy for you? If you have to think about it a couple of times in order to know for sure, that's okay. So when we're talking about your moral values, please don't think that these things are good or bad. And what you do exclusively, because again, you have to do all things in order to get through life successfully. Now, can your personality change? No, your behavior can change. What you do is your behavior, okay? So when we think about the source and the cause and the effect, that's very complex. That's very complicated. Let's just talk about what naturally you are. Okay, so now, we have four dichotomies. The first one is about your social energy. Now, introvert or extrovert? Everybody has to do some things in an introverted way and some things in an extroverted way. Yeah, so that's okay to do some things introverted and extroverted. In fact, in the segment coming up, I'm going to be talking about how about 40% of what you do should be one way, either introverted or extroverted. The other 60% should be the opposite of what that is. It's very important for you to know which things you need to do in an introverted way and which things you need to do in an extroverted way. So these are the questions that I like to ask people. It's actually a 200 question test, but these are the deciding factors really for the introvert, extrovert. Number one, I ask people, who do you call your friend? Yeah, you know what? An extrovert would say, anybody I like, everybody I like. Hey, if we've talked for 20 minutes and we hit it off, yeah, we're friends. No, an introvert would say, a friend is someone who's very special. It's an intimate relationship and it's a private relationship from birth till death. An introvert will really only have four, five, maybe six people that they call friend, but they get along with everybody. That's not a friendship for an introvert. Okay, number two, when you're talking to someone, how important is it for you not to be interrupted and not to interrupt other people? You know what? Extroverts, they can't really help themselves. But an introvert would say, no, this is a deal breaker. If you're not going to respect me enough to wait for me to finish, then I'm going to stop talking. Which begs the next question, number three. How important is it for you to not yell and to not be yelled at while you're talking? You know what an extrovert would say? I yell when I'm excited. That's not a bad thing. An introvert would say, yeah, you know, that takes a lot of energy out of me. I don't want to do that. Okay, good to know. Keep that in mind. Now you're either an introvert or an extrovert, but you will do some things in an introverted way and other things in an extroverted way. Oh, and again, the number, if you want to call in and ask a question about any of these, especially for clarification, 888-627-6008. Okay, now the second element is where you focus your attention. You're either sensory or intuitive. Okay, now we have five senses. They are going on all the time, even when we're asleep. Okay, but we also have an intuition that takes all of the pieces that our senses, our sensory function gives us, and we put together complete thoughts and ideas and concepts, and we focus on those things. We all have to do both. The question is, which one comes most naturally, the easiest to you? Okay, I tell people my three favorite questions on this one. Number one, how easily do you get lost? Oh man, I love that sensors, if they've been there one time, they know how to get back because they are very, how do you say, fijado? How do you say that in English? Aware and observant. They're observant of everything. Well, you know what? An intuitive would say, I think I've been here before. Was it that street or, okay, which way is north? You know what? Sensors have a great sense of direction. Number two, how well do you remember facial features and things people were wearing? Well, an intuitive would say that that kind of looked like that person. A sensor would say, no, they had a special facial feature or a birthmark somewhere, and they are very aware of what people around them are doing. Okay. How about where you have your attention? And an intuitive would say, I think about how things are related. So I think about the future potentially. A sensor would say, no, right here, right now. If you ask a sensor, where are you? They'll say, I'm in the living room right now. Or I'm in Phoenix. No, you know what? If you ask an intuitive, where are you? They would say, you know what? I'm in a really important place in my life right now because it's big picture for an intuitive. Okay. Well, how about the next one? When you're making decisions, you're either a thinker or a feeler. Now, this is really important to remember. Again, being a thinker doesn't mean you're smart, and being a feeler doesn't mean you're emotional. Feelers are some of the most profoundly insightful people in the world, and thinkers can get very emotional when they're passionate. This dichotomy is about when you're making a decision, do you make your decision based on rational, logical, analytical thought, then you're a thinker. Do you make your decisions based on other people's emotional needs and their happiness? Then you're a feeler. Okay, so now wouldn't it be nice if other people's emotional needs and happiness really and truly was based on logical and rational things? Well, you know what? It's not. So when you have to make a decision, again, what for you is the deciding factor? Well, I ask people questions about this. Some good questions are, number one, how much do you have to really understand things logistically before you will make your decision based on them? Yeah, you know what? I'm thinker would say, I do need to know what I'm talking about and what I'm doing. And I'll even ask more questions just to make sure they add up. A feeler would say, no, I need to make other people's needs my priority and my focus. Because you know what? People's needs don't make sense most of the time, but their happiness is what's really important. A thinker would say, hey, you know what? If you do it in a smart way, ultimately they will be happy. Okay, well, that begs the next question. How hard is it for you to give people bad news? A feeler would say, I don't want to. I don't want to do this. A thinker would say, you know what? That's just reality and you got to deal with it. Okay, well, how about the next question? If you had to perform surgery on someone, it was life-saving surgery. Yeah, but they're kind of running low on the painkillers. A thinker would say, okay, well, you know what? Sometimes making progress is painful. A feeler would say, I wouldn't be able to focus because I know that I'm making them unhappy. I'm creating pain for them. Okay, yeah, no, I can't do it. I would be very distracted. Well, okay, the next question, when you're a thinker, hold on 1 second, I'm having a little technical difficulty here. When you actually have to do something that is going to make someone unhappy, do you want someone else to do it? Or are you okay knowing that ultimately it's not going to damage your relationship? A feeler would say, no, it's probably going to damage our relationship. So I don't want to do it. Okay, and then the last dichotomy is about how you carry out the decisions that you make. You're either a perceiver or a judger. Now, a judger doesn't mean you're judgmental. You can be, but perceivers can be very judgmental too. Think about it in this context. As you carry out the decisions that you're making, a judger would want to be structured and organized. A perceiver would be flexible and spontaneous. Yeah, some things in life are, we have to be flexible and spontaneous. Oh, sorry. And again, the number, if you want to call in and ask a question about these things, it's 888-627-6008. Okay, so yeah, you can say, well, I'm both. I do both. Yes, in life, sometimes we have to do both. That's just the way life is. The question again is, what is naturally your inclination? Okay, these are the questions, the three questions that I like to ask people for the perceiver-judger dichotomy. Excuse me. Number one, how much do you like making lists of things to do? A judger would say, yeah, I love making lists because when I do something and scratch it off, I feel accomplishment. Okay. Then here's another little quirky thing I love about judgers. If you've done something that's not on your list, do you write it down just so you can scratch it off? Yeah, maybe that's a dirty little secret, but you know what? For judgers, that's normal. A perceiver would say, yeah, I have my list. And where is it? Did I have it over here? Did you take it? Do you see my list? Yeah. Okay. Number two, are you more excited at the beginning of a project or at the end of it? Okay, well, perceiver, you have the information, you have the goal, you have the focus, you have the ambition, and the more you get towards the end, you kind of lose energy and you might not finish it. Well, perceivers start a lot of things that they never finish. A judger, they get so excited at the end, if they don't finish something, they kind of go crazy. They don't necessarily have a lot of excitement or energy in the beginning, but they know that once they get to the end, that's where the momentum builds. And then my favorite question is, being on time, being on schedule, how important is that for you? Yeah, you know what? As a judger, one of the questions I ask people, would you rather be 55 minutes early or 5 minutes late? Yeah, a judger would say, I hate being late. A perceiver would say, well, the party doesn't start until I get there. They're often late. And sometimes they don't even show up or they forget to cancel. Because you know what? Life is spontaneous. Life happens. Well, no, for a judger, you have the organization and the structure and the consistency because that's what provides stability to society. And that's not a variable and it's not an option. Okay, so it's going to be very important for you to remember your four letters because what we're going to be talking about is functional order and functional levels when we come back. Because again, not the first, not the last, are what we're going to be looking at. The middle two letters that either S or N or T or F, you are still going to have to do all of those things, even if they're not your personality's preference and strength. Okay. So again, the number to the station is 888-627-6008. And functional order, it's dominant, auxiliary, tertiary, and inferior. If you want to make note of that as well, go ahead and write that down. That's what we'll be talking about when we come back from this short break. This is BBS Radio, the power of synergy. I'm your host, Gabrielle Cardona. This is BBS Radio. I'm your host, Gabrielle Cardona, and this is the power of synergy. Okay, so I was talking about the dichotomies just kind of to help you figure out yourself and to determine what you are good at. Now, since there's four dichotomies, the EI, SN, TF, and PJ, you are going to have to do all of those things if you want to make it through life. And if you want to be with people, but your thoughts and feelings are going to determine how you do those things. Okay, so now when we're talking about functional levels, we have the dominant, the auxiliary, the tertiary, and the inferior. Now, you're going to have to do the S and the N and the T and the F, but the last letter of your personality is going to determine what you do most to least. Yeah, one of those things is going to be on the dominant level. One of them is going to be auxiliary. One is going to be tertiary, and one is going to be inferior. Now, since you have to do those things, the dominant level, you should be doing that for 8 hours a day. Your auxiliary, you should be doing for 3 to 4 hours a day. Your tertiary, you should only be doing for 2 to 3 hours a day. And your inferior level should only be 1 to 2 hours a day. Now, okay, again, this is going to be important probably for you to write down. The last letter of your personality is going to tell you which of your two middle letters, that's going to be either the S or N and the T or the F, you're going to be doing one of them in an extroverted way, even if you're an introvert. Now, you're going to have to figure out that the J is the third letter or the second. Wow. Okay. Wait a minute. The J is going to tell you that your third le letter is going to be extroverted. Ah, okay. So that means that the T or the F is going to be extroverted. So then, if you're an extrovert, you're going to want to do that more than the other letter. If you're an introvert, you're not going to want to do that as much. Okay. Now, that means that the balance is that if your third letter is extroverted, your second letter is going to be introverted. Okay. So that means if you're an introvert, you're going to want to do your second letter more than your third letter. And that's okay. So all you're going to do then is know that your dominant function is whatever your social inclination is. You have to do your social inclination preference more, right? But then it's very important to remember that in nature, everything is balanced. Okay, so your SNTF, you have to do all of those. Your dominant function is going to be your social preference. Then your auxiliary function is going to be the other letter of your personality that you're going to want to do just in the opposite way. So one thing you're going to do introverted, one thing you're going to do extroverted. Now, the important thing to remember is the other two letters that are not your personality, you're still going to have to do them just in a socially healthy way. Okay, so the nice thing about balance again is your dominant function, whatever that is going to be the polar opposite of your inferior function. That's number four out of the four levels. Whatever you love to do most, you're going to hate the total opposite. Okay, so if your dominant function, we're going to say if it was introverted sensing, the polar opposite of that is extroverted intuition. Well, okay, so most to least. Well, the second thing that, yeah, you like to do it, but not as much as the other. What's the polar opposite of it? We'll say, for example, if it was introverted thinking, well, then extroverted feeling is the polar opposite. So that would be number three because the other one was only number two. Okay, so that means that when you understand the letters, let's just take one of my favorite personalities. It's an ESTP. The P means that the third letter is extroverted. And so as the sensor, ESTP, he's an extrovert. His sensing is going to be first, it's going to be his dominant function. So then the other function, his thinking, is going to be introverted. Okay, so then if his dominant sensing is extroverted, his introverted thinking is number two. The polar opposite of extroverted sensing is introverted intuition, and the polar opposite of introverted thinking is extroverted feeling. Okay, so then if you have to do those activities, even to those different degrees, the question is, what are you going to be doing in your daily life that are those activities? Okay, so let's talk about extroverted sensing. If we're talking about extroverted sensing, it's doing sensory things in a socially interactive way. Okay, well, wait a minute now. What are sensing, extroverted sensing activities? Well, when we're talking about daily life, it's doing things that are stimulating. Yeah, the stimulating things in life that are physically engaging. Well, yeah, if you're doing that in an extroverted way, you're going to be with people. You're going to be with people while you're doing those things. Okay, well, intuitive things. What if that was extroverted? You would want to talk to people, even if it was an internal activity. You would want to have other people engaging with you in those activities, even though it's an internal activity. Okay, well, if your thinking was extroverted, that would be decision making with a logical and rational analytical way. Yeah, and you would want to do that with other people involved and engaged. You would want to dialogue about those things. If it was feeling, you would want to do those emotionally attentive things along with other people. You would have those activities in your life, in your mind, that you would actually want to make as many people a part of as possible. Okay. Introverted would just mean you want to do them alone, and that's okay. When you're doing the introverted activities, the ones that you do alone, you can still do the other activities in an extroverted way. And remembering that the functional levels, you know what? You're going to do your dominant function in a really important way. But since your dominant and your tertiary function both have the same social origin and the same social orientation, the only way you can do your tertiary activity well is if you do it in the way, right, of your dominant function. or for the reason of your dominant function. So if we're talking about an ESTP who has extroverted sensing and extroverted feeling because his thinking and his intuition are introverted, the best way he can do his feeling activities, which is tending to other people's needs, is if he engages them in a social way, in his sensory activities, making those people a part of the physical things that he's doing. You know what? Cooking or playing sports or doing something artistic. That's the best way for an ESTP to engage his feeling functionality, because he would know that the best way for him to care about people is when he's physically with people. Yeah. Okay. So when he's physically with people, then he can get that emotional, sensory, but nurturing activity, participating with them. So the quality of his feeling will be much higher if he's doing his non-really personal preference activity in his personality preference way. Or his intuition, you know what? Yes, ESTPs hate being intuitive. They hate it. Yeah. So the only way to being introvertedly intuitive in a high quality way is if he's using his intuition while he's doing his thinking activities, because that's when he's introverted. Yeah, when he's doing his thinking activities by himself, because he can't do thinking activities with other people. The minute other people come around, he's going to be sensory. His sensory is going to turn on. He has to be alone for his thinking to be high quality. So when he has to be intuitive, you know what? The only way he can do it is while he's thinking. Yeah. Okay. So let's go ahead and stick with that. Now let's take another random personality. We'll take an ENFJ. Okay. So the ENFJ, dominant, auxiliary, tertiary, and inferior function. Their dominant is their extroverted feeling, which means their auxiliary is introverted intuition. Now, the polar opposite of introverted intuition is extroverted sensing. Okay, so when they're being extrovertedly sensing, which they don't want to do, the best way for them to do it is in a feeling way, because when they're being extroverted, their feeling turns on. Yeah, so if they have to be sensory, they can do it in a feeling way. Well, what if their environment doesn't let them do it in a feeling way? You know what? Then do it for a feeling reason, because that way they can stay in the context of their true nature. They don't have to suffocate who they are. They can make sure that what they're doing is still in their personality's way, even if it's not their personality's thing. And then the inferior function of the ENFJ is introverted thinking. You know what? They don't like to do introverted thinking because they're an extroverted feeler. Introverted thinking is like suffocating for them. Yeah. Okay. So the only way that their introverted thinking is going to do a good job is in the context of their introverted intuition. So you know what? For them to do well in their introverted intuition, they actually need to do introverted thinking activities too. Okay. So again, when we're talking about thinking, it's about decision making. It's about being objective and analytical and rational. It would be easiest for an ENFJ to be all of those things if they can do it in an intuitive way, right? Or for an intuitive reason. That way they can channel their thinking into the context of their intuition. And that's going to be what's most important for them. Yeah, that's going to be what feels most organic to them and what's most natural for them. Again, the number is 888-627-6008 if you have questions. Now, if you're thinking about your life experiences and what you've been doing, how much of the thinking activities? Well, you know what? If you're not a thinker, how many of those thinking activities have you been doing in a high quality way? Feeling activities. How many of the feeling activities, if you're not a feeler, have you been doing under pressure and under duress? Now, I make those four levels of like illustrations. Your dominant function is like breathing. Your auxiliary function is like eating. Your tertiary function is like walking, and your inferior function is like running. But I ask people, what's the most important for you, to do what you are or to not do what you're not? What is more damaging to you, to not do what you are or to do what you're not? Because think about this, people. If we're talking about your dominant function being like breathing and your inferior function, which is the polar opposite, is like running, what is harder for you, to run for an extended period of time for a long distance, or to suffocate yourself while you're running, to literally not breathe, because you can't do both of them at the same time? So when you're doing the running level of activities, they are so hard for you to do while you're not breathing. You're actually doing damage to yourself. Now, our thoughts and our feelings are very important. They are our motivation. They are our compensation. They are the source. Well, no, you know what? Our personality is the most important thing, because how we do it and why we do it is going to determine our mental and our emotional constitution while we are doing it. Do we understand in principle what those different activities are? And most importantly, the quality of our mind and heart while we're doing it. Them, all of those activities, because we're going to have to do them. At some point, we're going to have to do all of the activities. Do you know how to make your performance high quality? You have to get the social orientation of those activities in harmony with your personality. Okay, so we're going to take another quick break. This is The Power of Synergy on BBS Radio. I'm your host, Gabrielle Cardona. Welcome back to The Power of Synergy on BBS Radio. I'm Gabrielle Cardona. Now, talking today about our thoughts and our feelings and our personality. Yeah, our thoughts and our feelings are not necessarily going to determine what we do. Life is going to demand that we do certain things. How we do it and why we do it is what's most important, because that's about the quality of our thoughts and feelings while we are doing something that, you know what, might not be our true nature. It might not be our personality, but we still have to do it. Okay, so when I tell people, how much of what you're doing right now is true to you? How much of the things that you are saying and doing, right, just in your daily lifestyle, are truly who you are? How many of them are just in response to the people that you're around? That keeping your job, you know what? Keeping the peace in your family. Okay, but then you still have to remember that you need to be true to you, and that is your personality. You can do things that are not your personal preference in your preferential way. Yeah, you can do the things that are tough in life to do, and they're not necessarily completely honest, but you can still talk to people and say, look, I'm having a hard time with this because of whatever reason. But you know what? I tell people that's just the tip of the iceberg. We need to get to T IP. What's the topic? What's the issue? And what's the real problem? And that's again what comes back down to acknowledging other people's personality as well. Understanding that there are going to be certain things that they're just going to want to do in a certain way. But then there's the personal factor of their life experience that might be affecting how they perform their functions as well. Maybe what they're doing isn't very high quality. Okay. Then understand the source of the cause that produced the effect. When we're not just talking about what the topic is right now, that's just the effect. Okay, but what's the cause? Okay, that's the issue. The issue is the cause. Well, let's talk about the issue and all of the different elements that are included in that and involved in that. But you know what? The actual problem, that's different from the topic and that's different from the issue. That's not the cause or the effect. That's the source. And that's again how we can get our synergy good with each other again. We have our thoughts and our feelings. Yeah, what we do, how we do it, why we do it. But what is our personality? Our personality is the key. It holds the secrets. And when we understand, you know what? Something happened before. It's causing me anger or fear or anxiety. If you understand yourself, you can actually say, wow, this isn't just about the cause and the effect. This is about a problem. And that's another reason why it's important to know your personality and the people, the personalities of the people around you. Because when you really do understand the source, which is the problem, you can resolve the issue. Okay. And you can address the topic and be successful because you're proactive, because you're mindful, and you understand. Wow. Okay. This is really important. When we're talking about what relates to what, your thoughts, your feelings, your personality, wow, that's what you do, but how you do it and why you do it. I was actually talking to a young man on the rail the other day. We were talking just about what I do. And okay, I'd say he was about five. And his mother heard me talking to someone about my show. And he said, what's your show about? And I said, well, it's kind of the little condensed version of what I teach people, and that's how to get along with each other and how to solve problems together. When you understand each other, yeah, you can talk about things. When you understand yourself, you can understand each other. And that's what matters. When you know not only their personality, but their personal history, and you know how to talk to them in a respectful way and a considerate way, that will make their willingness to continue talking to you, right? More. Well, the mother, she didn't really want to listen to her kid. I was just kind of observing. I didn't say anything because they were going to, I think it was a sporting event. And I always say to people, your energy is either positive or negative. When sometimes the kid has to be the mature one in their relationship, it is possible if he understands, if we teach our children, even the children that aren't our own, in our daily life, in our activities. We're talking about thoughts and feelings and personality variables. They really do need to understand the source and the cause and the effect. Yeah, what you do, how you do it, why you do it. Those are all going to be things that if you learn them, you will always have that knowledge, that's that power and the communication. That is the willingness to work with people in your life that will empower them because energy is contagious and the synergy that we create is exponential. Yeah, when we're talking about just numbers, okay, the numbers again, we're talking about 3 and 5. Yeah, that's not 8, that's not even 15. That's 125. That's 3 to the 5th power. 4, or is it 5 to the 3rd power? Is it 243? What do we create when we come together? Do we empower people? And when we do, is it in a positive or negative way? because there's no neutral energy. It's either positive or negative energy. And so when we're moving with each other, we're either encouraging them and helping them and supporting them to move forward, or we're pulling them back. We're pulling them down, and we don't want that. When you understand yourself, you're better able and you're more willing to understand others. So yeah, you can go ahead and study about their personality, but talk to them. And yeah, listen, it's important to listen. And this is another thing that I teach my clients a lot, my students, ask questions. How often do people misunderstand and they don't ask questions to clarify if there's any doubt or any, not sure about that in your mind, maybe confusion. If something doesn't add up, ask a question because, and this is another thing that I've been talking about a lot on LinkedIn, I've got about 18,000 connections. How much do you really know the people that you're connected to? Take the time to meet them. Yeah, actually make a phone call because that's better than artificial intelligence with just the words that you're saying. How much of what we communicate through technology is just the words? You know what? Our communication, the words are only about 15, 20% of what our communication message. What about our eye contact? What about our body language? We have volume and pausing and sense stress and modulation. Get to know the people that you're with and even take the time to say, I'm not sure that that's what you meant. Give people the benefit of the doubt. Yeah, it's okay to be optimistic and give people the benefit of the doubt and be disappointed than being suspicious and judgmental in the very beginning. And you know what? Confirmed. That's it. Because I knew having that good, healthy, positive energy, giving people the benefit of the doubt, pursuing them, getting to know them. That's what makes the world a healthy place, the synergy. And then you can always choose to tell people, okay, I want to be healthy and positive. Do you want to be a part of my life? Yeah, sick people don't like healthy people. Negative people don't like positive people. This is what synergy is about. If you have a question or comment between the shows, you can email synergyrelationshipcoaching@gmail.com. And again, my name is Gabrielle Cardona. I am on LinkedIn. And if you have a question or comment, a topic that you'd like to discuss, please don't hesitate to let me know. You can reach out to me in these places. And it's very important. Any questions that you have, again, the number to BBS, 888-627-6008. The phone lines are open. We'll see you here at the same time, same place next week. BBS Radio with the power of synergy. I'm your host, Gabrielle Cardona.